This is the Real Anime Podcast, and this is Luke, your host. My first anime podcast, so I'm a big anime fan, so I want to review, different anime that I've seen. I've watched anime since I was a child. I love all sorts of anime. So, for my first episode, I really wanted to review a show that I think deserves the love and has some hate to the show that I don't really understand why, so I'm hoping with this review it'll kind of change your opinion of it a little bit. But that's going to be Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation. This is one of my all-time favorite anime adaptations from a light novel. I will tell you now that I have read the light novels up to novel 16, so I have a pretty good, idea what's going on. I won't spoil anything, obviously. I'm not going to be that guy. But I will say that I want to review the first season and be as good about the review as I can. So I'm going to do my best. One reason why I chose Mushoku Tensei first to review is because I feel that a lot of fans out there are just snubbing the anime or just not giving it the time of day. Or they're just acting like this is a bad show based off the subject matter that's found throughout the show, even though in my opinion that's one of its strengths, is it handles some really dark, some really like mature subject matter, and it handles it very well. It handles some of the scenes extremely well. The anime has done a fantastic job handling some of the sex scenes, some of the just the psychological stuff that's happening in the show, like a lot of the more mature themes that are found throughout the series are really well handled by the animators. Now, the animators of this show were Studio Bind. They were made in particular to just adapt the full adaptation of Mushoku Tensei. So again, if you're an anime fan, expect there to be more. It sucks that we have to wait, especially because, episode 23, the finale, was a really, it wasn't like a cliffhanger, but it definitely hurts to, see it go, especially if you're a fan. So, without further ado, I'm going to get right into the review. First of all, the animation and the music were spot on, in my opinion. The animation was really well done. Down to the little minute details, to the fight scenes, to the training sequences, all that stuff. Very well animated. They put a lot of detail into things. There's a scene where they open up some bread, and it is just a minor scene that should not be as well animated as it is, and it's mind-blowing how well animated that one particular scene is. You're just like, whoa, why? Why is a good question, but it's like, that's the whole show, and it gets better. First part is well animated, the second part is even more well animated. So again, to sum up overall, like, my feelings on the animation, I say that the animation itself is definitely a 10. 9 out of 10. I'm gonna say the animation is a 9 out of 10. I'm not going to give it a full 10, but it is a very well-animated show. I would pick this over many of the other shows of a similar genre, or even shonen anime that's out there. This is better animated than a lot of those. Next thing is I want to talk about the direction with the writing and the way they went. I feel the direction and the writing was spot on. Having read the novels, they changed some things around here or there. Like, they added some stuff, cut some things. We're going to see an OVA later that covers some stuff that was in the light novel that they didn't really adapt to the anime just yet, but there will be an OVA adapted about it with Eris and the goblins. So they didn't cover every little thing, and they cut some stuff, and they rearranged some scenes. But overall, they did a fantastic job adapting the anime. The writing was clean. The idea that the author of the actual light novel itself is helping them with the anime, helping them with the writing, is very good because they're staying on point to what the show is supposed to be. So, heavily impressed with the writing and with the overall animation of the show. Now, to get into the basic story plot of the show, It's just your typical isekai is how it starts. Guy gets run over by truck-kun, gets sent to another world. But this time, he wakes up as a baby who was just born. And he has the memories of his previous life. In his previous life, he's 34. We find out that his previous life, he was heavily bullied. He was a shut-in. He gave up on life. Didn't care about anything anymore. Really didn't care if he died. Like, he just gave up. So when he does die by truck-kun, and given the second chance, he decides that he wants to live this second chance out and try to do better than he did, like, than he did the first time. So he grows up in this family, in this household, has a new mom and dad, definitely raised in a much more family environment, I suppose, grows up differently in this world. This world has magic, it's a fantasy world, it's got different races of monsters and creatures and people and animals and all sorts of stuff, Labyrinths, and you name it. And the main character has an affinity for magic. He's able to do the magic without having to use incantations. He meets a lot of people along the way early. The story is very slow. It's a slow burn story. It's not like one day he's a child, the next day he's an adult, and he's just destroying everything he runs into. That's not how this anime goes. It's a slow build up over time. He meets with Roxy, who's like becomes his magic instructor. By the time he's age 5, he's finally able to become a Saint Tier water magician. He then, you know, starts to learn more attack spells, but based off of like he can use any of the main elements. And this is all at a young age. He builds up his mana pool to a really, really high level at a young age. Has a childhood friend that he meets. Her name's Sylphie. She's important. But the childhood friend, he teaches her magic, and she learns how to do incantationless spells just like Rudy. And again, the main character's name is Rudius. I don't think I mentioned that earlier, but the main character's name is Rudius Gray Rat. And his family is like a noble family, but he's on the lower side of the nobles. Like, his father is the brother of like one of the high ranking nobles, but they're not really a part of the noble family, so they're kind of not, they're not rejects, but they're not a part of the political drama, I guess, that goes with being part of a noble like family. Okay, and there's like several branches of the Gray Rat family, and we find all that out later. And anyway, Rudy decides that he wants to get stronger in magic, so he wants to go off to this magic school. He can't, his parents don't want to afford the magic school because he doesn't just want to go by himself. He wants to take Sylphie with him, but his dad doesn't want him to do that. So Rudy asks for a job. The job is simple. They're going to send him off to like a cousin of a cousin of a cousin type family situation. And they're going to go and send him to another part of his family. But it's like a distant, distant related family. And send him there where he's going to train some girl he hasn't met yet in magic, reading, writing, arithmetic, all the stuff that Rudius knows how to do at a young age. Due to being more mentally, older in his mind, because he remembers all his memories from his past life. So it's basically as a 34-year-old up there telling him, you know, how to do things faster or better or you know, whatever. So he ends up going to this distant location away from where he grew up. After being at the house for 5 years, he goes to this location. He meets this woman named Ghislaine. She's a sword king, which she is a higher rank than Rudius's dad. And Rudius's dad is an advanced swordsman. Ghislaine's a king swordsman. So you find out that Ghislaine was part of like Rudius's father's old adventuring group. And there he meets Eris Greyrat, who, you know, becomes the primary character, I guess, with Rudius throughout the rest of the show. Their relationship blossoms throughout the time, and they become very well acquainted with one another, and they spend many years together. When Rudius first goes over there, he's 6 years old. by the time he, and just keep in mind, he spends the next, you know, many, many years with Eris. He spends the next 7, to be exact, with Eris. So he spends his first 4 years in the Fatoria region with Eris, where they're training her on reading, writing, arithmetic, and magic. And it takes her a while to warm up to Rudy. It takes Rudy a while to warm up to her. But eventually, they become really good friends. And over time, you know, Eris starts to develop some feelings for Rudeus. Rudeus is developing feelings for Eris. And, you know, whatever. And then we have the big moment where we have the mana displacement. And this is where the first turning point happens. You have the mana displacement that then teleports everybody across the continent to different locations. Rudeus and Eris get teleported to the Demon Continent. And that's where Rudeus meets the Man God for the first time. The Man God tells Rudeus, you know, to work with this man that's going to be sitting next to him and help him out. So Rudeus listens to the Man God and decides to help out Rudyard, who turns out to be a Superd. And a Superd is just somebody that all the kids of the lands or whatever have heard bad stories about, so they know that the Superds are quote-unquote bad, even though they don't know the full story and they don't know the full history. And anyway, this dynamic starts to build between Rudyard and Eris and Rudy, and they become a party. They found a party together, an adventuring group called Dead End, which was the nickname given to Rudyard anyway, as when he was when he just goes by himself, they call him Dead End. And so he's already well known, so Rudy and them make their group Dead End. And they partake on many missions together and many, many travels. And they spend 3 years together trying to travel back from the Demon Continent back to the Fatoria region where they first got teleported. Along the way, they meet many, many people. They fight many different style of people and many powerful foes. Like along the way, they fight a North God Saint. Rudeus defeats him. Rudeus and Eris and Rudyard meet the Dolia tribe, which is again part of the Ghislaine, because Ghislaine's a beast woman. She's a sword king, but she's from the Dolia tribe, and they end up meeting that entire tribe. And meeting like Ghislaine's older brother, who is like king of the tribe, and I guess the grandpa. And they meet all the kids and all, you know, and they don't know who Ghislaine is and all that stuff. Anyway, meet all them, and then they have a moment where like Rudeus finally finds his father again after many years of being separated from his father. He finds him. Him and his father have a fight, because his father expects so much from Rudeus, and Rudeus, you know, to his father, it's like one side, there's just mistakes between the two. Like, Rudeus thinks his father's being too hard on him, and his father thinks that Rudeus is just taking it easy, despite having so many family members missing. Rudeus strengthens his resolve, makes up with his father, Paul, eventually. And then they go out, and Rudeus finds one of his little sisters, as well as his stepmother. They find them two, and able to reunite them with Paul. Paul's really excited, really happy when this happens. Rudeus saved the day. And then Rudeus is heading off, you know, to continue the journey to get Eris back to the Fatoria region. So they're traveling, they make it, but on the way, they have some snags. They run into the dragon god, Orsted, who absolutely wipes the floor with them in a fight, basically kills Rudy, then brings him back to life, due to some circumstances that, you know, I'm not going to disclose, because I don't spoil anything, but basically, brings him back to life. There's some mysterious characters that are introduced right here. That whole episode is crazy. You could literally talk for 30 minutes just on that one part. But I'm not going to. They end up traveling, and they make it to the Fatoria region, and they've been traveling the Demon Continent for 3 years now, or they've been traveling from the Demon Continent to the Central Continent for 3 years now. And Rudy at this point is 13 years old, and Eris has turned 15. And in this world, they only celebrate birthdays every 5 years, so 5, 10, and 15. So it's Eris's, I guess, birthday. She's an adult. She's considered an adult at 15. Rudeus is only 13. Rudeus and Eris had previously tried to potentially, I guess, have like a romance at some point earlier in this, in one of the episodes, but you know, it didn't really work out. Although Eris cared for Rudeus, her thing was that she wanted to do it, but she wasn't ready. She didn't feel she was old enough, so she wanted to be an adult. She wanted Rudeus to be older, and then they would, you know, I guess, commemorate their relationship. So at this point, Eris, knowing that she's the last one of her family, because they find out that her whole family's dead due to the displacement incident, Rudeus tries to comfort her. She kind of throws him to the side and, you know, kind of doesn't want to hear about it, but ends up coming to him at that particular night, and she wants to have his kittens, is what she says in the anime. And so they proceed to have the sexual scene. Now, this is one of the scenes that I think was handled so well in the anime. They did such a good job. It was really well done. It was very tasteful. That, like, they didn't go too far, but they didn't, you know, they didn't shy away from the material either. It wasn't like they just said, next day, and they just skipped it. They definitely kind of went all the way, but without having to go all the way. And I fully respect that. They definitely earned my trust with the animators as far as, like, the vision that they see for the show. They earned it for me from that particular episode, because they did a fine job adapting what, you know, happened, like, in the light novel. And so then, Rudeus, upon waking up from this, you find out that Eris has left Rudeus. You know, Rudyard left as well. So Rudeus is all by himself again, and Rudeus is just crushed. He's just left with so many questions, and he's thrown back into his old self, with his previous 34-year-old self that didn't want to leave anywhere and just gave up on life. And now he's reverting to that inside this new world where he was given another chance to live. And with all that, Rudeus is absolutely crushed with thoughts of betrayal. Like, they left him. They left him by himself. They, as in Rudyard and Eris, mainly Eris. Like, he accepted that Rudyard had to leave, but he couldn't accept that Eris had to leave. And he's questioning, you know, did she love him? Was she lying to him? Did he love her? Like, he did love her, and he goes, this is why it hurts so much. He goes, I can't stand this. And he's absolutely just crushed by what happened. And, you know, he questions if it was the sex, like, if it was something he did wrong. He questions, there's so many things he questions. And meanwhile, on Eris's side, you find out that Eris really loves him. Eris really loves Rudeus. And it's well established throughout the anime that it's not just Eris, but there are many, many characters that have these super high expectations of Rudy. And they see Rudy as this, like, he's just this upper tier character to them. He's so powerful to them. He's so strong. He's such a great adventurer. He's able to do so much. He protects so many people. He saves so many lives. All this stuff. And they have a very different perception of how Rudy sees himself. Rudy sees himself as, you know, like a failure, like someone that his own group would walk out and leave him. Like, Eris doesn't love him, Eris doesn't trust him, Rudyard left him. Like, he sees himself as just a failure, not able to hold on to anybody. And he doesn't think that he himself is strong, even though he is, even though he's special in the show, even though he's told that he has an insane amount of mana compared to everyone else, and even compared to, like, the demon god Lapis. And he also is told that, you know, he's one of the very few people in the entire verse that can use incantationless magic. It's like a god tier thing to be able to do, and he can do it. And then Rudeus blows that also, doesn't think it's special. Doesn't realize that him hurting Orsted in that fight was special. Nobody else could do that to Orsted, only Rudy. Rudy hurt Orsted just slightly, but he hurt him. And that he fired an attack so powerful that Orsted couldn't fully block it. That tells you that Rudy's on another level. Eris saw that. Brugerd saw that too, but Eris especially saw that. So she vows that she loves Rudeus, and she's gonna come back to marry him, and that she's gonna be with him. But she needs to get stronger so she can stand by his side. So she goes off with Ghislaine to go to the Sword King school, where they're gonna work with Galfarion, which is like Ghislaine's. He's the current sword god, and that's Ghislaine's master. And, you know, she's going to go and do this. And, of course, Ghislaine questions Eris if this is what she really wants to do, because it's going to hurt Rudy. And Eris thinks Rudy's going to be fine. And so, ultimately, Rudeus is crushed by all this. So many questions he has. So many thoughts. He's so psychologically broken from everything that happened. And he finally, like, after several days of just locking himself up, he gets a stern talking to from Alphonse, I think his name is, and the guy tells him, you know, like you could help us out, you're a very powerful mage, like you could help us out in this rebuild process, you could do so much stuff. And he's basically prodding Rudy to like move on, and finally Rudy decides that he needs to save his mom. So he makes a vow to head out and save his mom. They have this epic moment where they animate it perfectly, where the current version of himself is able to walk past the old version of himself and move and do something that the old version would never have been able to do, but now he's grown enough maturity-wise to be able to do it. And he sets out solo to go save his mom. And then we get a little hint here or there about some stuff that's going to happen in the future with a mysterious entity that's reading off Rudeus's qualifications for magic school, potentially, and they want to recruit him, even though some of them don't believe that he's really strong, is what they say, but they'd like to recruit him anyway. And then you find out through Kishirika, who's the demon empress, Zenith is alive, but she can't quite see her, and she's trapped somewhere. So we know that Rudeus and them are going to be looking somewhere where his mom's potentially trapped. And then, you know, they show several other people in the finale, but that's basically the finale. And so overall, this was a spoiler-heavy review, but I mean, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on Funimation. I'm sure you can find it illegally on some website as well, but go check it out on Funimation. It's really good. It's a really good anime. It's really well done. You will be hooked on this anime. I expect the next season to be announced soon. So, I honestly am not as big on isekais as some people. I'll watch them, but most of them are just so much the same that it's hard to get into them. But Mushoku Tensei is a very well done show, and ultimately I appreciated the subject matter, that they took it serious, they animated it serious, they handled these really touchy scenes with these different characters, and they handle them with such grace and such finesse and such, like, overall, like, they did a fantastic job. As far as, like, the characters I really liked the most in the show throughout season one, definitely, like, me personally, I'm a big Rudeus fan. Rudy is the main character, of course, and I really like him. Now, that can be considered, I guess, controversial, because I know a lot of people don't like Rudeus as a character. And the reason why they don't like Rudeus as a character is because he's a little perverted, or he puts himself in these weird situations that, like, a 34-year-old maybe wouldn't do. But Rudeus is not technically 34, even though he has the mind of a 34-year-old. That doesn't mean he's 34 years old. It just means that he has the mind of that. I don't necessarily see the problem there. I guess that some people see with that, him making these questionable, quote-unquote, decisions. But you got to remember, too, that this world that he's been isekai'd to is not your typical... It's not your modern day. This is a very old-timey world with very old-timey values and you know, old-timey ways of doing things. And so, Rudeus, some of the things he did, sure, like maybe make you uncomfortable a little bit, but you got to put yourself inside that world. That world is not modern day. This is not a modern day world. It doesn't abide by modern day rules. Okay? There's slavery. There's all sorts of stuff going on in that world. And I don't think it's fair to just completely dislike a character because of that. But Rudeus is also one of my personal favorites because I've read further along in the novels. I mean, I've read up to novel 16. And, I mean, he becomes, you know, what he becomes later is just so great that, I just love Rudy. But I get it. You know, he's not meant to be loved, like, initially. He's not the main character that everybody's just supposed to fall in love with, and that, I think, is very intentional by the author. He's not meant to be the dashing hero that saves the world and all this junk. But so for me personally, Rudy would be, you know, my favorite right now. I'm also a big fan of Roxy, and a big fan of Rudyard, and then of course Eris, and then a big fan of Paul. Now Paul is, you know, kind of a shitty character because, you know, some stuff that he does throughout the show. But you know that he loves his son. Like, you know he loves his son. And you know how much Rudy means to him and all this stuff. And so Paul really comes across as a good, I guess, he's not the best father, but he tries really hard. And he loves Rudy. And he gives Rudy something that, like, Rudy never really had in his previous life, which was an actual... someone who cared for him like that. You know, even though Paul doesn't always know how to show it, even though Paul makes mistakes, even though Rudeus, you know, can sometimes be an ass to him, Paul loves Rudeus. And that to me, that father-son relationship, I love it. I love how they did that in the show. Like I said, as far as Roxy goes, Roxy was the teacher that trained Rudeus early. And I mean, I have personal reasons why I like her, but she's a really good character. But some of the reasons why I like her is, again, because I've read more of the novels, so she, you know, there's plenty of reasons why I like her, you know. But currently, how the series goes, those would be my, like, favorites so far. I'm really looking forward to the next season, and if you guys are looking forward to the next season of Mushoku Tensei, comment below. Tell me, like, tell me what you're looking forward to. Tell me some of your theories. Don't worry, you're not gonna really spoil me on anything. So, you can comment what you want. I don't care. I do ask, though, if you are gonna spoil stuff in the comments, just don't spoil it for everybody. Like, at least put a warning in your message that you're gonna spoil people. But yeah, like. Leave me your theories, your comments, your questions. Maybe we can answer next time. I plan to do another Mushoku Tensei review, but it's going to be for the light novels. I'm going to start reviewing each light novel that I've read. I'm going to review Volume 7, starting with the next with the next one, because Volume 7 is pretty much where Season 2 should kick off. So I plan to review Volume 7. So tune in for that, And then I'm going to do 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and so on and so forth until completion. And then we'll review the series when it comes back out. I'm going to review some other anime as well. So look forward to those. And I'm going to... And I'm hoping that you guys really like the review, really like the potential podcast here. And if you did, subscribe. I guess follow the podcast, show some love, whatever. Well, you don't have to, but it'd be great if you did. And yeah, if you got some anime you'd like me to review, like put it down below. I've probably already seen it, and it could already be planned for me to review it. If that's the case, I will be reviewing it. Probably, there's going to be several shows that I plan to review coming out soon. But like I said, I wanted to start with Mushoku Tensei first because it's just a really good show. And I wanted to get that out there because I want more people to watch it. I really do. I really want more people to watch it and just see how good the show really is, because it is such a good show. Such a good show. So, thanks for tuning in, thanks for listening, and hope you all have a great day. See ya.